So today we're going to be speaking about Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Om Gananjana Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Meditam Tasmai Shri Maha. So it's very interesting, before we speak a little bit about Prabhupada, or actually we are speaking about Prabhupada, that Prabhupada's appearance day was on the day after Lord Krishna appeared. And actually, Prabhupada's appearance day is called Nandotsava. That's Krishna's appearance day, but it's also Prabhupada's appearance day. And Prabhupada had a nickname when he was young, Nandalal. That was Prabhupada's nickname. So this means a lot. Just like in the Bhagavatam, you have the statement, by what are religious principles protected now that Lord Krishna has gone to his abode in the spiritual world? And the answer, of course, is the Bhagavatam. So we can also say, now that Lord Krishna has appeared, who is representing Prabhupada in this day, Krishna in this day and age? And that's Prabhupada. So it's like a parallel to that whole Bhagavatam explanation, question and answer. So, and it's important we talk about Prabhupada, because without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot understand Krishna. Why is that? Because atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahamindriyat. Because we have covered senses, we cannot perceive the Absolute. I mean, how many people here have seen God? Besides on the altar. But how many people have actually shook God's hand in this lifetime? Nobody. Raise your hand. If you texted God, but he didn't reply. So therefore, we need a representative of God, of Krishna, to tell us what God is saying to us. And we'll start with this. In the beginning of all time in this universe, the Lord created all the material universes, all the planets, and the living beings were manifest from the Lord and from the Lord's representatives, Prajapatis. And the living entities in this world are all rebellious souls. This material world is described as a prison house. And in the prison house, the word is Durga. Durga actually is the presiding, let us say, manager of this prison house. So the prison house means that we're being punished. Why are we being punished? Because we didn't listen. It's like with your parents, and your parents tell you something once again, and you just ignore them. Guess what? You get punished. Here, who here has ever gotten spanked? Probably 100%. Probably everybody else has gotten spanked. So God, being the supreme parent, he spanks us in a very interesting way. He puts us here. And he just does that for our benefit. How many of you, when you were spanked by your parents, were told, I'm doing this just because I love you? To help you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got it. So I think you understand God's position right now. So, but Krishna has given us a guide to get out of this material world, and that's the Vedic literatures, which have been passed down in disciplic succession. And of course, Srila Vyasadeva is the compiler, literally the divider of the Vedas, and the compiler of the supplementary Vedic literatures. So then we have a chain of spiritual masters that comes from Srila Vyasadeva. And we are members, of course, of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which comes from Lord Brahma. There's other chains that come from Lord Shiva, come from Lakshmi, and the four Kumaras. So in order to have direct spiritual knowledge, one has to be receiving knowledge through one of those chains. It's like wires. For example, we just recently turned on the electricity in the hall, and some of the plugs didn't work. And some of the plugs burned out things because we were trying to open things too quickly. So it's a science how to connect electricity, because I have to go there and show them how to do it. But it's my background, you know, technological background. I studied electrical engineering, so I know how to wire a house. So anyway, so it's a real science. You can't just like put a plug in the wall and say, plug something in, right? Actually, in India and in Europe, they call it a PowerPoint. You can't just put it in there. You have to wire it properly. If you cross your wires, let's say if you touch a hot wire to the ground, what happens? It's a shocking experience. So in the same way, spiritual advancement or spiritual life is a science. You have to do it the right way, and it has to be transmitted through the proper wire, that's the cyclic succession, and the proper representative cyclic succession. And Srila Prabhupada's coming down to represent the disciplic succession, because Prabhupada is a avatar. Not like the movie that you saw. He wasn't blue. But avatar means to descend, to cross down. So Prabhupada came down with a specific purpose to represent this disciplic succession. And his advent, his birth, appearance, whatever you may say, was predicted. For example, in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it says that after 5,000 years of Kali Yuga, which is approximately right now, a little more than 5,122 years and 52 minutes and 26 seconds. Anyway, so after that amount of time, a great sage and worshiper of Krishna's holy name will appear and spread the chanting of Krishna's names in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Not only in India, but around throughout the whole world. Pretty good, isn't it? So Prabhupada was predicted there. In the 1800s, there was another great sage, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He predicted in an article, he said, soon there will be a time when the chanting of Krishna's names will be heard in England, France, Russia, Germany, and America. And also South America, and also Australia, and also Fiji, and Greenland, which someone was just recently trying to buy. So anyway, so that's happened. When Prabhupada was on the planet, it literally happened. So when Prabhupada appeared in 1896 in Calcutta, the same year, a book called Lord Chaitanya's Life and Precepts reached the Western world. It was a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it reached a university called McGill University in Canada, Montreal, Canada. So 1896, and Prabhupada showed the signs of a great devotee even from his very early childhood. And of course, the first sign was that he was born on Nandotsava. But after that, Prabhupada insisted on performing Ratha Yatra. Even when he was 5 years old, he performed festivals in the streets of Calcutta and engaged his father, his friends, and everybody in preparing prasadam and distributing it to people. He attended a Scottish church's school, college, and this way he became educated in English. But he refused to accept the diploma upon graduation, because he took this as a sign of rebellion against the British rule, because he was a member of Gandhi's society at this particular point. And Prabhupada, after he left this university, he became a manager of a chemical company in 1918. He got married. But in 1922, something happened that really set the mood for Prabhupada's whole pastimes, which is that he met his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on a rooftop in Calcutta. And he was holding a darshan on this rooftop, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he gave Prabhupada the instruction which Prabhupada meditated on throughout his whole life. Now this is a very important point, that if one takes the instruction of the acharya as his life and soul, not the instruction of acharya here. His name is acharya, but Das. So don't take his instruction. So anyway, so you take the instruction of the Acharya. Acharya means one who acts nicely, speaks nicely, it sets the mood for a whole branch of the Sampradaya. So he took that instruction as the focal point of his whole life, just like it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhya, Ekeha Kudanandana, that one should be one-pointed in spiritual life. And that instruction was, you are a nice young man. See how he's talking to Prabhupada? Not just, he didn't say you were a rascal or anything like that. Or, hey, go out and preach. He said, you're a nice young man. Actually, Prabhupada said, that's the preaching technique. You say to someone, oh, they're very intelligent. You're very intelligent. Now forget everything. So you are a nice young man. You know English. Therefore, you should preach this mission of Lord Chaitanya specifically to the English. To the English-speaking countries in the Western world. And it took about 11 years before Prabhupada took initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he accepted him as his spiritual master from the day he met him in 1922. And in 1935, there was another instruction that Srila Prabhupada got from his Guru Maharaj, was to, if you ever have any money, print and distribute books and distribute them all throughout the world. And this was at the point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a little upset with his disciples, who had been fighting over who would have the nicest room in his new temple in Calcutta. And so he said, you know, if I ever could sell the marble from the temples to print and distribute books, I would do that. So following this desire, Prabhupada came up with the idea of a magazine called, English magazine, called Back to Godhead. And he began to distribute this Back to Godhead, like in one-page sheets, throughout Delhi and wherever he met people. And he began to enlist members of the Krishna Conscious Movement. In 1953, he started what's called the League of Devotees in Jhansi, but later on there was some political problems with the property. And in 1959, this is just a very brief overview. It's better that if you all can get this book, the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and it gets into greater detail. So in 1959, Prabhupada took sannyas. Actually, what happened is that Krishna arranged that his business would fail. And Prabhupada was very fond in that regard of reciting this verse from the Bhagavatam. Harishye Tadanam Shinai. For those who get favored by Hari, sometimes it takes away everything. And then they simply engage in Hari's or Krishna service. So took sannyas, and penniless, he resided, or rupee-less, if I can coin the term. He resided in Vrindavan, and actually ultimately at the Radha Damodar temple, but first at the Vamsi Gopal temple. And he sometimes gave up eating in order to print his books and print the Back to Godhead magazine. And he was translating the multi-volume Srimad Bhagavatam from 1959 to 1965. And in 1965, he got the funds to print the first volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he felt ready to go to America. Now, of course, this was after World War II. And the reason I'm mentioning that is very important, because before World War II, the most prominent country, Western country, was Great Britain. Now, after World War II, it became America. So Prabhupada went on a boat, a steamship, which is a freighter, with basically $10 worth of rupees, which he wasn't able to actually convert to dollars. Some symbols, that means cartels, and some books, about two or three cases of books. And Prabhupada suffered heart attacks on the way, and when he was going there, he actually had a dream of Krishna, his multifarious incarnation, rowing the boat and assuring Prabhupada of success. And when there. So in 65, Prabhupada arrived in America. Actually, first he got into Boston, and he had the equivalent of $8 with him. And here's an interesting poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote. It's called him Markine Bhagavad Dharma when he first arrived in America. And I'll just read the translation. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of your illusory energy. By your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 17 to 21. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of the nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service of the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. And this is Prabhupada's words again. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of their hearts will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, Prabhupada's prayer is here, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened, and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you could fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. signed the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladutta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 17th of September, 1965. So you see Prabhupada's mood of extreme humility, dependence on Krishna, complete faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this describes it here. He considers himself the most insignificant servant of his spiritual master, and he pushed on with great determination. Actually, for the first year, practically there were no results until Prabhupada started to go out in public Harinam. And then eventually, in 1966, Prabhupada got a storefront, which the devotees still have, which is called Matchless Gifts in New York. It's on 26 Second Avenue. And he was holding Gita classes every day in the morning and in the evening. And after 10 months, devotees started to come. That's Prabhupada's determination. Nothing happened for like 10 months. I mean, things happened, but amazing, let's say, things that would discourage the rest of us happened. For example, one time Prabhupada was staying with someone who was taking LSD. I don't know if any of you know what LSD is. It's a hallucinogen. And this person took some one day and he went so crazy that Prabhupada felt his life was threatened and he ran out the door. And then he was on the streets with nowhere to go. Unfortunately, there were devotees like Mukunda Maharaj, who wasn't Mukunda Maharaj, and he's Michael Grant. He helped Prabhupada secure a place. In 66, Prabhupada was able to found the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which we are a member of, members of. Of course, there's ISKCON societies practically in every state of the United States and practically every country. Here we have ISKCON of North Carolina. That's easy to understand. And then every night, Prabhupada would rest only for 1 or 2 hours and wake up at about 1 o'clock at night. Actually, he wasn't sleeping, so we shouldn't say wake up. But he got up at 1 o'clock at night and translated his books until he gave class in the morning, until he actually went on his morning walk, which was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was able to translate an amazing quantity of books, like 80 big books. Translate and comment, not just translation, comment on. And innumerable articles, and innumerable lectures he gave, and innumerable morning walks. He gave all of the space of this 10 or 11 years. And over 100 temples was opened. Yeah, he responded to all his letters. So he would do his worship in the morning and preaching, managing. He often asked his devotees to take over the management, but they were unable to do that. He said, "Give me time to translate more Srimad Bhagavatam," but the devotees just couldn't handle it at that particular time. And there was a temple in San Francisco, it was the second temple, and then they had the support of many of the, let us say, intellectual bands in the 1960s, you know, with very spiritual names like Grateful Dead, Big Brother and the Holy Cubby, Jefferson Airplane. I mean, all these were people who, or bands where people took intoxication, but they supported Prabhupada. And they have this mantra rock dance, which you see the poster for right over there, and Prabhupada is holding his head. It's like a psychedelic poster. And then many, many other temples opened up after San Francisco, New York, Montreal, Los Angeles, Detroit, Boston, Philadelphia, Columbus, Hillsboro, North Carolina. Actually, one of the first temples was in Chapel Hill. I don't know if you know that. That temple closed while Prabhupada was still on the planet, and then later I came back and opened up my first temple in Chapel Hill in 1978. Some of you don't know that. This temple was started, property was acquired in 1982, but I first came to Chapel Hill in 1978. After that, I had a brief stint of being temple president in Miami, Florida, and came here to continue my work in North Carolina in 1982, and we opened up this temple in 1985. So in 71, he visited Vrindavan. He took his Western devotees with him. He called them the dancing white elephants. Because people, the reason he called them that is that people were very impressed to see Westerners who would renounce everything, because many people in India, perhaps the majority of people in India, were thinking, let's go to the West, Disneyland, whatever, Universal Studios, whatever. Washington, D.C., you know, whatever. Microsoft wasn't there then. You know, let's go to the West. It's the promised land. It's like, it's almost like the story from the Bible, the Exodus, where the Jewish people left Egypt, you know, after building the pyramid. And when people came to America, they discovered it wasn't the promise. Well, it was the promise. What the promise was something different. You had the promise, it wasn't delivered. Anyway, so Prabhupada was sometimes explained to the audience in India that his disciples came from very wealthy families. There was one devotee whose father owned Seagram's liquor company. And Prabhupada would sometimes talk about these different things in the lecture, and people would go, wow. And they gave up everything to join you? Oh my God. Are they saying? Or are they members of the CIA? That's why for some time in India, there was even a film, and there were other things that falsely presented us as members of the CIA. And there was investigation in the Lok Sabha, the Indian Parliament, about the Hare Krishna, are they members of the CIA? And then, you know, a lot of places around the world, people thought that. I remember I did a lot of preaching in South America, and if I revealed to people that I publicly that I was from here, you know, USA, they would start chanting CIA, 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 which is Spanish for CIA, CIA, and sometimes they would run after you with a stick to beat you and kill you. So anyway, in India, there was that rumor, of course. I mean, I don't think the CIA is going to join the Hare Krishna movement. I think they got better things. Not better, worse things. But Prabhupada was impressing people like that. You know, here are people who gave up everything to serve Krishna, had everything. I mean, just like my own background, my family, we had our own airplane, boats, and everything. And I just renounced it all to serve Prabhupada. And I was even offered a very large sum of money by my father. Come back, my dear son. And I always had a good relationship, but I didn't go into the cleaning business. I went into the real cleaning business. Cleaning hearts. My father was into the cleaning clothes business, but that's just external. Just coverings of the soul. But I was interested in cleaning the soul, not just... Because clothes get dirty anyway. What the... They're not important. You can just throw them on the floor. Prabhupada did that. He traveled with many disciples, and here's some of Prabhupada's achievements. Followers went to every continent in the world other than Antarctica, and every corner of the earth where there were people, and the holy name of Krishna became known everywhere. Organized traveling bus parties, book distribution, Harinam parties, festival parties. His devotees went to London, where they hooked up with George Harrison, who became a devotee, Dr. George. And he was ready to shave up and join Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, you can spread Krishna consciousness better from your particular situation. And he was able. I mean, his albums of chanting Hare Krishna, particularly My Sweet Lord, became very, very popular. Even today, I think people listen to that record. And Prabhupada addressed the English public in 1969 in Commonwealth Way Hall, initiated approximately 5,000 disciples from every single nationality, you know, China, Russia, even the way he spread Krishna consciousness in Russia was interesting. He was invited just for 4 days to Russia by a professor who really was scared to talk to Prabhupada, because that was the time of the KGB. It was still a problem. And Prabhupada, there was the son of someone who worked in the Indian embassy, and he had a Russian friend, and he brought his Russian friend to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada spent practically all of his time preaching to this Russian friend of this, you know, the Indian boy, and he initiated him. And from that one person, just like from one spark, a whole flame, a whole forest can catch fire. Then thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of devotees are there in Russia today. And in those days, we weren't allowed to have our books in Russia. Even when Prabhupada entered, his assistant, Chandrasundar, had a Bhagavad Gita with him, and they opened it up in the immigration customs, and they said, "What's this?" Finally, they were scared. You know, devotees were scared they would get arrested for having a Bhagavad Gita, but they let them through. But one person who Prabhupada cultivated was the facilitator for the whole Krishna consciousness for Russia. Amazing. There's 2,200 of his talks, actually more than that right now. I think it's 2,500 that were recorded and archived. Informal talks, formal talks, morning walks. Prabhupada founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute to prove that life comes from life rather than life coming from matter. Yet interviews, we'll go quickly, managed the society, taught everybody how to do deity worship. He set up the GBC, Governing Body Commission, to manage the movement after he left. Inaugurated festivals, especially the Ravyatra Festival. And one of the last festivals that Prabhupada attended was the Ravyatra on Fifth Avenue in New York. Prabhupada considered this to be like the culmination of all of his efforts. And this is, again, Russia, we talked about that. Set up restaurants, Govinda's restaurant, which hopefully, Madhava here? Madhava Singh is going to help us set up a Govinda's restaurant in the Karen Morris area. He's committed. He was just here on Janmashtami, but he's going to work with us. Set up this, so you'll be able to go there instead of coming here on Sunday. So, introduce. We don't call it the love feast anymore. Generally, in some temples they do, but in those days, if you called something a love feast, it attracted all the young people. Because young people in those days, the young Americans, were 99% what we call hippies. And one time Prabhupada was asked, "Do you know what a hippie is?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, it's something wonderful." You know, something like that. So hippie means basically someone who, at least the men, look like a dog but standing on two legs. So, anyway. I mean, I also look like that too, so. Before I had hair out like, I looked like Satya Sai Baba with a beard on. And the first time I shaved up was the day I moved out of the temple. Anyway. So Prabhupada set up. Prabhupada set up farm communities, schools. We have a school here for children. I guess he doesn't want to go to Guru Kul. So, set up food for life and distribute prasad. Now there's millions and millions of plates going out in India every day in the major cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, and other cities to feed people, and in other countries too. And we have a network of free kitchens, and it's called Hare Krishna Food for Life, all over the world. And wherever there's a disaster, we send in teams of people, like in Haiti, if there was earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes, we send in teams to help the people, feed the people there. And record 20 albums of music, circled the globe 14 times. Remember this, Prabhupada started all this when he was 70 years old. Now, most of you are not 70. And I can tell you, just the idea, I mean, tomorrow I'm going traveling, but I'm going in a plane, I'm going to sit down comfortably, take my computer with me, take prasadam with me. What prasadam did I do? Anyway, I take my avocados with me, my hemp, everything. It's bona fide. Hemp seeds. And, but probably came to America when he was 70. It's unbelievable the austerities that Prabhupada executed. So 108 temples in 6 continents, a deity in each temple, and so many books, like I said, at least 80 hardbound books. Here it says more than 70, I think it's about 80. And prominent scholars from all over the world appreciated his literary contributions. Bhaktivedanta Book Trust was formed, and by the time Prabhupada left, there were over 55 million literatures distributed. Now, I think, I don't know, what is the number now? It's about half a billion. It's a half a billion right now. And so, books are the basis. And so Prabhupada stated in a very heavy way, we've actually turned this into a negative so you can't identify the people. So many cheaters have come from India convincing their foolish followers to accept them as God that those who are actually well-versed and learned in Indian culture have become very concerned and troubled. For this reason, I am very excited at the publication of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And this is written by a professor here, Professor Kailas Vajpayee in the University of Mexico. And Srila Prabhupada was trained from his very birth. And as I mentioned, he comes in the succession of spiritual masters. This is Prabhupada's quote. As I come to know, I came to the movement, I came to find that there was a striking similarity in the essence of what they were teaching and the original core of Christianity. That is, living simply and not trying to accumulate worldly goods, living with compassion towards all creatures, sharing, loving, and living joyfully. I am impressed by how much the teachings of one man and the spiritual tradition he brought have impacted themselves into the lives of so many people. In my view, Srila Prabhupada's contribution is a very important one and will be a lasting one. R.B. Cox is a world-known, renowned professor of religion at Harvard University, of course, he's no longer with us. And there was another professor, I'm not going to mention his name, who was studying our movement. He was from Berkeley. He was studying our movement, and nobody really knew how much involved he was in the movement until he passed away. And finally, they went into his basement and found a temple. And he was worshiping Krishna. I think he would have lost his job. What do you think? Here we have one of these younger devotees. Adi Purusha, a.k.a. Huxar. Anyway, is going for his PhD to England, Cambridge. So he's going to be going in a few, how many weeks?
Three, four
weeks. And there's a lot of devotees with PhDs now in religion and philosophy, etc., and in Indology. So he's going to go, but he has to go in disguise. He has to grow his hair real long. Now, he can't say, "Are you sick?" He has to be careful. Anyway, Prabhupada never had his own car or a permanent driver. He has some pretty bad drivers. One time the devotees were driving the car in India, and the horn broke, and Prabhupada took out a metal plate and used it as the horn. Prabhupada was very inventive. He knew how to deal with each and every situation. And he always lived in a very modest way and considered himself, like you said at the very beginning, as a humble... We just read this statement by Prabhupada. I have no devotion nor have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. So Prabhupada always had that mood. He never considered himself the doer. He always considered himself to be an instrument. As Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, you be my instrument. The opposite side, the soldiers, the Kurus, and their associates are already killed, but you can get the credit. So Prabhupada decided to be the instrument of Krishna. That was his greatness. So by dint of spiritual power and compassion, turned many drug addicts and normal people to the I was not a drug addict, I was not a criminal. Many normal people into virtuous and saintly people who dedicated their lives to sharing spiritual happiness within the whole world. And there's a picture of some of the happy, happy devotees there. So today, and of course yesterday too, we are remembering Srila Prabhupada and dedicating ourselves, and Prabhupada set the mood for this movement. He remains the primary source of what's called shiksha, teaching, an example for all the devotees in the movement. And if we follow his instructions and example, we are assured of success. As Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janat paripastate tesham nityabhiyukta mam yogakshema vahamyam. Says, if you are dedicated to follow, I'm paraphrasing, of course, if you're dedicated to serving, following Prabhupada's mission, then Krishna says, I will carry what you lack. What do we lack? We don't lack money. We don't lack food. What else do you lack? We lack Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is such a high level, pure love of God. Oh my God. If you think about it, think about, you know, renounce sannyasis, which is not one of them. But if you think about renounce sannyasis, that they're only interested in pleasing God, and they're traveling just like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Kalpina Kanta Shuto. I mean, just like basically a long gumsha. They just travel with that, and just a wrap. It's just a patchwork. Like Sanatana Goswami, his brother-in-law gave him a very nice chata, and what Chaitanya basically indicated, it's not for you, but you got to have something very simple. So he traded it with a mendicant on the banks of the river, and he got a patchwork quilt. And so that seems like, wow. And we hear about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, how every two or three days they ate a pat of butter. And no quinoa. No avocados. No sweet rice. I want some hot sweet rice, but anyway. So, I mean, just like, oh my God, you got to be that like that to be a devotee of Krishna? No. Stani Satasha Dikatam Kanvan Manolia. Remain where you are. But if you simply serve Prabhupada's mission in whatever way that you can, with your words, with your body, with your money, then Krishna says, I will carry what you lack. And one day you wake up in the spiritual world. That's all you got to do to serve Prabhupada's mission. And you wake up, you go to sleep one day. Maybe have a heart attack in the middle of the night. But anyway, go to sleep. We have, oh, where's my star? Oh, no. Ooh, or something like that. You wake up in the spirit. That's all you got to do. It's very simple. Prabhupada is actually, like it's mentioned about Lord Chaitanya, hina hina yata chilo hadina mudarilo. Simply by taking up this chain that's been given to us in the cyclic succession, it doesn't matter what your background is, where you came from, whether you're a Brahmin or whatever, a whole but the swatch, a pacha, togariyan, yaji, walgri, vartatu, tubyam, vartatu, namatubyam, that you come to the highest platform, being a pure Brahmin. Very simple. Serve Prabhupada with your mind, body, words, money, whatever you want. So, thank you very much. I think we have this baby ceremony now. I'm not going to say sacrifice. It's a yajna. It's a yajna, I mean, but the word sacrifice generally in English means you're finished. But it is a sacrifice. The sacrifice, yajna, sacrifice, you're sacrificing your life for Krishna. That's what Krishna says. life should be a sacrifice. Sarvanaman Pratyaja Mamikam Shavanabraja Hum Pram Sabhapapayam Moksha Yashami Master Jam, isn't it? Sacrifice, that's a sacrifice. So sacrifice doesn't mean you're finished. It means the end. Alright, so I guess we saw the ways of the Srila Prabhupada. All glories is my grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he died. Where's the babies? Oh, yeah.
You
read the offering and bring the babies.
Hare Krishna. So let's express our gratitude to this amazing Krishna Goswami. So thank you.